Welcome to Pinky Hoots Creative Space, a podcast to uplift female creators with Asian heritages into the spotlight. I am your host, Lisi, aka Pinky Hoot. I get deep into the creators' background stories, process, and everything in between. Come and get inspired and get motivated.
Hi, Margo. How are you doing today?
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm really excited and also nervous. I'm good.
Yeah, she is a multiracial and neurodivergent artist who sees art as a way of understanding herself to ease her suffering. So there's so much to unpack with her. So let's get started then. Yeah. So I have a list of questions for you. We'll just kind of go through them and have a conversation about it, right? So yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So again, thank you for being here with us. This is so late for you. Yeah. So can you tell us a little bit about your multiracial background, your upbringing? Who is Margo before the art?
Well, okay. So my grandmother's father was an American soldier with German roots. And my other grandmother had Spanish ancestry, or a mix, since we were colonized before. But it never affected my upbringing. It never really impacted it that much. Honestly, my parents just really did their best. But they were pretty unconventional, especially for Asian parents, since they're also both a creative people. They always gave us the choice to learn whatever we want, what we're comfortable with. I've always been very grateful for that. They gave me and my siblings a level of trust I believe today is really essential if you want them to, you know, grow to be an independent and good person. So yeah, I'm pretty grateful for that.
That's really good to hear. And I definitely agree with you. I think the Asian upbringing is like the kids must do what the parents say. There's no what if and buts, and like what the parents want is what you want, right? And as we get older, as I get older, you realize how much of like the emotional trauma that kind of leaves behind. I have a young daughter at home, so I am, she's four. So she's just in that age where anything, like she's absorbing everything. So I'm very, very mindful of that. And it's so great to hear that your parents, it's so great to hear that your parents are kind of in that camp already. I just was curious, you said that one of your grandfather was an American soldier, right? Did I get that right?
Yeah, great-grandfather.
Great-grandfather. Oh, wow. So do you have any ties to like America or the West at all?
Yeah, actually the story of my grandmother, she tried finding her dad for as long as she could, and she found her relatives in the USA right now. They're in Georgia, I think, and they do stay connected, but they have yet to connect in person, but some of my uncles have already met with them, and that's really nice.
Yeah, that's incredible. I feel like I've probably seen documentaries on,
right?
I remember seeing a documentary of the situation by in Korea, where there's like so many like children that are left behind and they're not like finding their ancestry and whatnot. I was crying the entire time, actually. It's pretty incredible and heartbreaking in some ways, right? So I'm so glad that your family has found kind of ways to reconcile and get deeper into all that, right? So how does, you said that it didn't really affect you much, right? I wanted to ask if you think about that at all in your daily life and when you're creating art about your ancestry in some ways.
I do wonder, there's not much records I can, you know, check here in my country or where I can find my ancestry. The best I could hear it from was from my grandmother's story, but I never got the chance to ask my other grandmother because she's already passed. But for my still living grandmother, yeah. If I'm curious about my ancestry, yes. And also my Filipino side ancestry. Right now, I have been wanting to explore that a little bit more within my artworks as well, my culture and other ancestry. It's but I'll just be starting. So it'll be a whole new thing again for me, but which I like. I think it's gonna be quite fun and maybe I'll learn a lot.
I think so. I think I'm always I'm speaking from my personal experience. So I think something about digging deep into your past and, you know, your parents' lives and your great your grandparents' lives, it stirs something in you. And I think and then when I had my child, when I, you know, had my daughter, I felt like I went through that all over again in some ways, you know, seeing her growing up and also reminding myself what that is like. It's weird when you have kids, like you have all these triggers that you didn't know that you had, and now it starts to come out. But then you also realize those are also the exact things that you probably haven't dealt with in your own life that your child's bringing out of you. So I think if, you know, anybody finds the courage and the patience to deal with all that, you'll be a better person. And I think that's what they say that kids make you a better person. I think that is like the exact one aspect of it, right? So I think, yeah, it's awesome to hear. Let's get into your art stuff, actually. I'm really curious because you have so many collections on your profile. I was wondering, when did you first start creating art? And was there like a impulse or something that got you into it, or is something that's already been there your whole life?
Oh yeah, for sure. Art has always been around me ever since I was born. My parents are both creatives. Like I said earlier, my mom is a musician and professional jazz singer, and my dad was a DJ and he's a published artist as well and sculptor. So they were my influences growing up, especially my dad on the drawing and painting side. So it's always been there. But I never thought, when I was a kid, I never thought that it would be my job right now, my full-time job. Because back then, well, there was no internet and it was a lot harder to be an artist, right? So it just never would cross my mind. I wanted to be, a business person. But when I took business administration in university, I was so bored. Oh my God. I just realized that, oh my God, I'm gonna be stuck in offices and meetings, and that sounds so boring. And I actually dropped out because of it. Well, because of other things as well. And I guess I started taking art more seriously when I did drop out of university. That was around maybe 2015.
2015. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay. 2015. Wow. Okay. I kind of went through the similar process as you, except I went in much further and got a job and then realized how much I hated the job. I think for creative people, like just when you have a desire and that impetus to create, it's really hard not to. And when you're not doing it, you're just unhappy. And I sometimes I had experience like you're just unhappy for unknown reasons. You don't know why. Everything seems fine on the
Oh my God,
surface, but you're just like not satisfied, fulfilled with life. And then I think later on, as I got older, I realized that's what it is. And I realized that's something that like artists for creative people is you have to nurture. Right. And you nurture and you grow it. And if you don't, life sometimes seems almost pointless. I know it's a little extreme for me to say that, but I do feel that way sometimes. So,
It is extreme for us, yeah.
yeah. So I'm glad that you kind of did that. And that was almost 10 years ago now. Kind of crazy. What have you been doing since then with your art career?
Well, first, I taught myself painting. I actually started with watercolor paintings because, well, I guess that was the easiest to get. I didn't have a tablet or anything or a laptop. I even started using those really, really cheap watercolors that are so chalky when you run your fingers over them that you use in grade school. And I started with that and then it just progressed. And then later on, I took graphic design classes and I graduated from that. But I realized I do not like graphic design. I'm more of an illustration kind of person. and you know, my doing my own paintings. And yeah, I just kept practicing and practicing and learning. And then I got an illustrator job making line arts of different people and, you know, and selling them as frames for gifts. And then I also became a concept artist, character artist for some video games. I also did that. And a few other freelancing jobs until I got here in this space in NFTs.
And then that's kind of a perfect segue. Let's kind of skip over some questions and go back to it because it was such a perfect segue.
That's
so
okay.
how did you first hear about Web3 NFTs, and how like did you get into it and then being in it, and then what's your experience been so far being in it?
I found out about it because of my partner. He had been into the researching side or tech side of crypto and blockchain. And, you know, of course, he would know about NFTs. And he's like, check this out. You have to do this. And this was way back around 2020. And I was like, what is this? So I was like the common artist or common person not knowing what an NFT is. And I couldn't comprehend it. I couldn't comprehend how someone would pay this X amount for this digital work, especially that I'm a traditional artist, right? At heart, I haven't been making digital art much at all.
I think a lot of us are still wondering about that. Why did I pay this much for this?
Yeah, that's true.
I think a lot of us are still wondering about that, but the experience has been awesome. So was there any sort of notable experience being in the Web3 space that you would like to share with us? Something that stood out in your mind that made you feel good?
Oh yeah, I guess one would be, of course, my first sale. That was like a big shocker for me, my first NFT sale. And I guess also another thing is more general or more transitional, because I came in NFTs, I really didn't expect, or I guess I didn't know what to expect, but I didn't expect I would actually make good friends, for one, in this space. I thought, honestly, I'm sorry, but I thought everyone would be just so, you know, pretentious pricks. But no, I found good friends. There are a lot of good people here.
I'm sure those people exist in this space, but you know, you kind of find your own tribe. And if you're not like that, then you probably will avoid people like that. I believe that 100%.
Yeah. So I definitely really cherish that. And also my shift in my attitude in appreciating or looking at different types of art coming from a traditional background, which is far different from a space that's very decentralized and, you know, giving equal opportunity. So I had there, you have a lens, right? A different lens. But I became more accepting and more open. So that's really nice.
I think, you know, that was kind of one of the reasons I jumped into this space. Mm-hmm. It just like with traditional art, there's so many gatekeepers. You kind of felt like I had to create certain type of art to ever get anywhere with this hobby that we all want to make into a profession, right? And I think this space kind of opened that up for all this, the people who are more into genres that might not be mainstream or might not be accepted by the mainstream, but you can still find your own tribe who will resonate with your art. So that kind of opened that up, and the having that freedom and the possibility felt really, really nice. And then I can totally understand when you get that first sale, it's like, okay, this could be something real, right? And I think that's such a, well, congratulations for making that sale. I don't think every artist in this space actually makes a sale. So that's like a huge milestone, right? And then the next, so the next you just create more and sell more, and then maybe that'll be a career at some point. Are you working on anything else right now besides making art? Just curious.
Actually, yeah. Well, yes and no.
Okay.
I mostly mainly love and focus on the NFT side or the painting side, painting for myself. But I also do have a small business stationery shop on the side. But I do also make art there. But it's just that I make physical merches like keychains or stickers and all that.
Cute. I don't think it's, you should have that I don't think I saw your that link in your Hugs profile. You should definitely put that up. Maybe I just missed it. You should. Yeah, so we've been talking about your art, right? And I've seen your art, but I don't think everyone here have. So how would you describe your art style and theme? Like, can you tell us a little bit about what your art is about and what kind of emotions or topics that you want to discuss with your art?
Okay, well, I do have a lot of styles, but I guess my main style is very contemporary. So it's a mix of abstract with some realism or semi-realism, surrealism, sometimes minimalism. It sounds all over the place, but that's because that's me. But it boils down to how I compose them, right? The overall composition. And what I make is mainly about, you know, the human condition when faced in an existence full of suffering. That's what the Buddhists believe, that life is suffering. You know, each and every one of us is suffering in some way. And because life is incredibly hard, you're just born. At the moment you're born, you're already confused. You don't know what is what. And then you grow up a little bit, you're an adolescent, and you're confused, and now you have hormones. So it's heightened. And then you grow up some more, and then you're confused. And now you're also lost, you know, like, where are you going to fit in? Mm-hmm. Why is this like happening? Who am I going to be? And then you're going to be dealing with a lot of difficult situations in life. You're going to come to a point where you're going to have to make really hard decisions. And then you're going to ask yourself, do you trust enough to make it, to make that decision? Are you going to rely on something else, you know, and all that? And it's really, really hard to navigate life. And so I want to show people that the ugly parts that we tend to deny, we have to face it, because if you just keep escaping, you know, it's not going to get you anywhere. And that's why we party, we drink ourselves until we're so shit-faced. We watch reality TV. We just avoid and avoid and avoid. And that's the part that I guess I'm also in that journey with everyone. You know, we just want to understand ourselves a little bit more. And that's what I hope to show to everyone, that we can try to help each other out and alleviate, you know, us suffering.
I love that. I think you're 100% right that all of us are going through that journey in some sort of shape and form, in some sort of, you know, different intensity, probably, right? But
yeah,
that is part of the human condition. And I think now that you explained it, I think I can understand your art much better now. You mentioned that you kind of felt like your style's all over the place, but when I was looking at everything as a collections all together, it felt like it was from the same artist. And I think, you have minimal style, you have some impressionist style, but all of them are kind of figurative or abstract figurative, where the feeling looking at all of them, I pause and I kind of really think about what you're expressing. Which is like that pause and digesting is not a reaction I get with every piece of art I see, by the way. Some art is very happy and celebrative. Some are like, you know, fantasy, kind of just draws in because it's fantastical and it kind of visually impresses you. I fall in that camp a lot. But with your art, though, like, it's, I would say visually they're pretty quiet, but it definitely stirs up some emotional, stirs up that pause that made me want to think about what you're talking about in your message or in your art, which is awesome, which I think is a skill that a lot of us are trying to get better at, to be honest. So yeah, thank you for explaining your art, because when I read your profile, I thought, oh my God, is she like a really sad and dark person? But then when I talked to you, I was like, I don't think so. So I wanted to so when I was prepping for the space, I was like, I wanted to be very mindful about what perceived and what is actual.
Wow.
Right. So you said that not anymore. I'm curious, has what changed? Has joining the space changed that? Because if it has, you won't be the first person that's told me that. So yeah, can you tell us a little bit about that?
Oh yeah, of course. I guess I mean, a lot of people experience that, when you're entering young adult, you're pretty lost and you're pretty angry with a lot of things, right? And I was that kind of person. I was that kind of, that was me some time ago. I was angry with a lot of things and it just stayed in my head that way for so long. I just lived in it. I guess one of the things that helped me was some people that made me see how I was living, really made me face it in a harsh but necessary approach, and that just snapped me out of it. And of course, being in the space actually surprisingly did also help, because I was able to connect with other people, which is, I realize, is really important. I'm a huge introvert, but it's good to socialize with other people every once in a while, because you can't live in a small space, otherwise you won't learn anything. I had to expand my frame of reference, and in that way, I would be able to navigate life better. And so, yeah, being in the NFT space and meeting different people did help, as well as the guidance from some people that are very near and dear to me.
Oh, that's so awesome to hear. I think different life stages bring us different feelings, emotions, right? I think that's totally expected. And I think you just revealed to me that having that human connection with somebody who resonates with what you're doing or your passion or whatever it may be, direct line to satisfaction in some ways, right? I don't want to say happiness because it's such a fleeting thing, but that
Yeah, not
satisfaction.
direct happiness. Yeah.
Yeah, the satisfaction from accomplishing something or having a really thoughtful conversation or even having a really heated discussion, but that was interesting and meaningful, that like makes us satisfied with life, right? So I think like to all of us here, I always advocate this on this space, but reach out to people that you want to get to know, talk to people, to as many people as you can in the space who are doing things that you want to do or you are doing. It's just a good feeling, even if nothing like no job opportunity, financial things that come out of it. And those shouldn't be the reason why we are interacting with people to begin with. I think that there's like the satisfaction that comes from connecting with someone. And I think in some ways that gives me the high. I don't know if you feel the same way.
Oh, no, it does. Yeah, because I used to have terrible social anxiety. It was hard for me to go out, to talk to people, to order, in a restaurant. But I also realized I can't keep living this way. I won't be able to function the way I want. I won't be happy. So I decided that, I really needed to expose myself to really work hard on changing it. And I did. And it's doable.
I think that's so amazing. And to all those friends and family that harshly told you one way or another, in some ways, I am a believer that like true friends tell you the hard things. That's hard to hear that you probably had a lash out or some sort of defensive emotions. But the like true friends and like family who really cares about you, they tell you those things, right? So I think that's really, really awesome. And yeah, and so we talked about how many collections you had with your NFT launches, right? Did you have a strategy for planning them, or it was kind of happened as, you had an idea, you created something, and then you just put it out there?
Oh yeah, no, I cannot plan at all. I can't. I have ADHD, so planning is very hard for me. I really go with, what I feel. And like you said, yeah, the latter. I really start with, yeah, just an inspiration. Like as soon as I think of something, oh my God, I want to do this. That's when I'll do it. So, and that's the best way for me to enjoy art, really, is, I can do whatever I want. Like whenever. Often when I have to plan things, I can get bored or lose motivation. And I can get bored really easily because of, ADHD. But despite that, I do actually plan my day. I try to stay and keep a routine of what I want to do, which has helped me. But in terms of actual making my collections and my artwork, I prefer it to have that immediate desire to make something. It's just most enjoyable for me that way. So I'm sorry for my collectors if you're expecting a plan. I like the spontaneity of it.
And that's okay. And that's the kind of artist you are, and you should own it. It's totally fine. There's no planning process. You like to be spontaneous, and whatever comes in your head that you would like to make it, right? And I think that stuff, spontaneity makes art fun. So how do you get your inspiration from daily lives to feed into that spontaneity? Like, can you tell us a little bit about your creative process?
Okay, so I'm pretty much a home person. Since I stay at home a lot, I get my inspiration from the entertainment I consume. I consume a lot of shows and movies because I have to be watching something while I'm working. Otherwise, I won't be able to focus on creating it. It's weird, but yeah, that's how it works. And at the same time, I get inspiration from it. I also get inspiration from, other artists on Instagram and on Twitter. I like exploring different types of art. I'm a very curious person, so it's not just the art that I'll be curious about. It's their process, their personality, what they like, what they hate, how they see themselves, how they see other people, and all that. So anything can be an inspiration, honestly. And I try to take everything in without blowing up my head.
For sure. And then is your like day to day kind of you have an inspiration and then do you go ahead and sketch or you go to like what's the steps that you take for your creation of a piece of artwork?
Well, I like to change it up from time to time because I'll get bored of the same process as well. Sometimes I'll plan it. Okay, a lot of what I want to make is inspired by songs or song lyrics or poetry. If I hear a song or song lyric, for example, okay, I want to make an art inspired from that. So I'll start with writing the lyrics down, and then maybe, I don't know, a picture will just pop in my head some often. And then I'll try to sketch it roughly, pretty badly. And then I'll often leave it in my sketchbook for a while until I'm ready to paint with it. And most of the time, my process is just me just going through a lot of artworks, maybe on Pinterest or Instagram, and then opening a canvas or starting a canvas. And just go at it often and not even sketch. Often the elements that are in my piece aren't really, planned. They're like extra additions or revisions and all that. So that's also the best way I enjoy painting, is not knowing how the process will be.
And I think that's totally fine. I'm also just curious because you mentioned that you have ADHD. Do you find it hard to sit through like a whole session of painting? Or maybe your sessions are short. I'm not, I don't know. But yeah, do you find it hard to kind of sit through?
It depends. Like, if, for example, like a section of the painting I want can be pretty tedious, then yeah, it'll be hard for me to sit through that. If I'm working on a section that's, pretty fun, according to me, then I can sit through hours because the thing with ADHD is, yes, you're very distractible, but when you focus on one thing, you super focus it. They hyper focus. Like, I will forget to eat or anything else. I will forget to reply to anything. And sometimes I forget, my dog is existing right beside me. So that's how it works. So yeah, it's yes and no.
Got it. So that's, I think that also explains why like you're so spontaneous with creating art because like you said, if it's not something you really want to do, you'll probably become boring in like a second,
Yeah.
right? Fascinating. I'm curious. I know that you say you do painting and I noticed that you have a lot of digital art. So I was wondering, do you use AI in your art process? And like, what's your general view on the technology and the art pursuit for artists? This is kind of a
No.
loaded question.
Yeah, I know. It's been such a controversy lately. Yeah, I don't use AI at least yet. I don't know. I want to explore it, you know, what I can do with it at least. But I do think it can be a great tool. I've seen AI processes from different artists and they collage different bumps and I thought it was pretty cool. So depending on how one does use it, it can be a great tool to add to the art process. And I think that when any innovation, as artists, we should be free to experiment with it or incorporate AI if we want to, because that's the whole point of us being artists, right? To try new things. And I'm not really anti-NFT. Personally, I'm very, you know, since there's a lot of AI that are just easy prompt, I don't know, I'm pretty mixed about it because that's why process is so important for me. Some AI I do like, some I would like to know more of the process of, because some AI are more akin to poetry for me, for example, because of the prompts. So I would be very curious about the prompts that they are using, right? But like with any other art innovation, like when CGI was first invented, oh man, the claymation artists or hand artists, they were angry. They were fuming because they know that, you know, they also are gonna be losing their jobs. And it's the same way of when it was invented, digital painting softwares. A lot of traditional artists also still don't use that. And now the new thing is AI. So it can be your enemy or it can be your, you know, your friend. It doesn't have to be black and white. You know, we can all get along.
I think your view is pretty neutral, actually, and I think it's kind of where I think most people stand, right? I think AI, I want to go back to what you mentioned, like sometimes you are not sure about some AI art because I think the feeling you're just, I was talking to the head curator of Hug 2 weeks ago in my last spaces, and we talked about this topic, and I want to bring that back a little bit because what you described, that mixed feeling of not sure about some pieces, it's like I think your subconsciousness curating the artwork because you will probably agree with this statement that if a piece of AI art is so stunning and it's compositionally coloring everything just right on the mark, you'll love it the same way. You probably you wouldn't care if the AI made it or not, right? But then if you're unsure about some AI artwork and that feeling is probably the same feeling that you have with a lot of other traditional artwork. You're just unsure about it, right? And I think that is like the your subconsciousness curating the art. And I think what you said about process is important because I'm having this conversation more and more because a lot of people want to see how AI artists are utilizing AI in their process and in the background. And Lore, the head curator, pretty much expressed that they look at AI art just the same as all the other traditional art. They look at how like good, quote unquote, it is art. I don't want to say objectively, but subjectively in the curating mindset. So there is good AI art and good bad AI art just with traditional art, right? So I think you should, I personally think you should definitely experiment with AI art and see how that could make your process better or faster, more enjoyable because the attention thing might not be always there. Yeah. And we're kind of getting into like the latter half of the spaces. And I want to kind of get your take and view on the Web3 space and the NFT space in general. Let's start with that, I guess. How do you feel about the space in general right now? There's, you know, I've been hearing a lot of bull run noise in the crowd. I've been hearing a lot of people talking on the street about it randomly, believe it or not.
Really?
That's, yeah, I was mind blown when I heard. I got out of the car and then this guy was like, yeah, like crypto's back, NFT's back. And like, I was like, is it? So yeah, what is your thought in this space right now?
Well, yeah, it's going right now. I mean, it's already apparent with the amount of scams that are also coming, like a lot of bots on the comments in your DMs. That's also another way, I guess, of signaling that, is it starting again? Is it bull again? Because, you know, of course they go where the money goes. But yeah, I get my information from my partner, really. So I have little bits of information that I get from him about the market sentiments. And it's looking pretty positive. But of course, no one can really tell for sure, right? We can only hope. And that's what I'm doing. We can only just hope that it keeps going before you get wrecked again. And
Right, but I guess that doesn't really change anything you're doing with your art career per se, right?
I guess I would try, since it seems like a lot more of the normal people, you know, are again getting interested with crypto and NFTs. So if there's something that I could maybe do about that is to give them an easier like entrance, if that makes sense, like so that they can understand the culture and the tech easier, because people always need that now. Because if it's too hard to understand, if art is too hard to understand, sometimes it can kind of get people to just, you know, be scared of it.
Yeah. So, do you think that's still a problem? And this is for all our developers in the audience. Because I know as artists, when I first got into space, like navigating wallets and minting and all that link and then avoiding scams was like such a big undertake. Do you still kind of feel the same way about it? And if second question would be, if all that became easier, like, you know, easier to get a wallet and sign on, or having, this is kind of back to the conversation we're having in 2001, like more education for the general public, that more people will get into this space. Do you kind of feel that feeling bubbling in, I guess, in your area?
Oh, yeah. I mean, especially in impoverished areas, there's, you know, we're always going to be looking for things that will make our lives easier. And
with crypto, for sure, yeah.
So in blockchain, they're moving unnecessary third parties and mediators and giving control back to us. And we also should learn to not need like the centralized institutions and have the responsibility to learn it for ourselves, for our own security, for our own privacy, and not be lazy, you know, and just give away our things to institutions, to banks. And I mean, because that's the spirit of decentralization. And if the tech were more streamlined, which will, it'd be easier for other people to come in.
Yeah, and I actually, as you are saying that, it just made me realize, like, hey, maybe, you know, the responsibility is actually in our hands, the artist's hands, right? I noticed that the more you talk about it on different platforms, just not just on Twitter, but on like Instagram or TikTok, or whatever, the more you talk about NFTs, then I would imagine that some people out there will get curious about it again, and then will look into it, like you said, like taking that responsibility into their own hands to learn more about it, right? But, you know, since I feel like last year, 2 years ago, oh gosh, like Web3 time, crazy, that I found that the sentiment in people who are in the space already is like they almost want to avoid talking about NFTs because it gives a bad rep and feeling towards it. And I think that action in itself kind of kills the industry, because you're not talking about it anymore, then nobody's going to hear about it, especially the people who are not even in it anymore, right? So yeah, as we're talking, this just came kind of clear to me. We have the responsibility, all of us who are in Web3, who believes in NFTs now, kind of have the responsibility to talk about the good side and the, you know, the community and the connections we make and the art itself, all the good things about the space more. Then more people would join. I have a belief.
Oh, yeah. I mean, at the same time, while not being so critical of their side of their argument as well, because that's when people get really defensive, right? A nice, good discussion without having to call each other names. Like, what's the problem right now on Twitter? Yeah, it would help a lot as well.
Yeah, for sure. And I think what you mentioned in the very beginning of the space, at least I maybe see it in the US, that because overall on the, you know, global scale, our lives here are pretty good compared to a lot of other countries, mm-hmm. right? So we find that there's a lot of talks about things that might not matter as much because life is good. Like, you don't have to worry about survival and put food on the table yeah. for a lot of people, right? It's interesting to have a discussion with you from a totally different part of the world and how you feel about the space. And because I feel like there's a little rumbling of here right now, but I feel like these people around me is still very skeptical, even in some ways. Yeah. I'm still skeptical, uh-huh. right? But, you know, I'm here, I'm doing what I'm doing. I love the people I meet and I love the things I'm doing. And I'm getting artists like you on a space to speak about yourself, where you just mentioned that you be, you know, maybe not that long ago, you're super introverted and it's not something you would ever do, right? So I think that's wonderful. Yeah. So are you working on any new projects? Do you have any new alphas to share with us?
Well, actually, like, the best alpha is to just keep going at it. You know, I've been through a lot of fairs. Oh my God.
Right.
But yeah, you know, you just push through because the tech and potential is there.
Yeah.
Not just for us individually, but for the whole society, for everyone. The potential is really great. And I really hope that, you know, I don't know how it'll go with the government regulating it, but the future, I'm hoping that, you know, it will be bright for yes. crypto and blockchain.
Yeah. So is the government tone in your country pretty positive and for this space, if you know?
They're not really against it. They are in the talks of regulating it. They have not properly regulated it yet, but yeah, we have registered to exchanges here already, so they are accepting of it. I mean, and a lot of Filipinos are really eager to explore it, actually, crypto and, you know, and blockchain games and NFTs, because that's the difference. For third world countries, it's an incredible amount of help in a lot of ways, and it has been for a lot already.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, that is definitely a bit of alpha that I think, if the bubble is like kind of bubbling up in that area, because I do believe like the Southeast Asia and Asia in some ways were, with this crypto and NFT stuff, were kind of ahead of the US.
Yeah,
when the last bull run happened, right? So not, if there's noise happening in your area again, then I feel very positive about it. So that's, thank you for sharing that bit of alpha. I know we're kind of coming towards the end of our spaces. I just have a couple more questions for you. One was, I really am curious. I started asking this question recently to all my artists because I want to know who is your favorite artist and if you can share that with us. Artists, if you have multiple.
Oh, favorite artists. I tend to not have really top favorites, but if I had to name some artists that have had some impact in how I create, it would be, does it have to be Asian?
It doesn't have to be.
Okay, so one would be this Italian artist named Agnes Cecil. She does watercolor mainly. I don't know if you know her, but her,
yes.
You know her?
Yes, I think I follow her.
Oh yeah, her art is amazing. It's also very like contemporary, somewhat mm-hmm. abstract. I love the looseness of it. And mm-hmm. another one would be someone from here, or is here currently, and her name is Valerie too.
Valerie.
She's also very contemporary. Her artwork has a general softness to it, but it's also very thought-provoking because often she has a lot of different elements melding together. And it's just, I really like it.
Awesome. So sounds like you, I guess, my traditional art format is watercolor for now. I started with oil, mm-hmm. but then, like you said, it was too messy, it was too toxic, and I lived in a small apartment when I graduated. Mm-hmm. So I switched to watercolor, and I just love that looseness and the ethereal feeling, yeah. the watercolor that translates. So yeah, I'm definitely going to look those artists up. It sounds like they're right up my alley. Yeah. And lastly, you kind of shared this a little bit with us already, but for someone who are new to Web3 in the NFT space, what advice would you give to them right now?
I guess what I can say is to come in with an open mind, because it's unlike the traditional world and it will keep challenging the traditional norms and beliefs that we had. So be very open. And if you go in for the wrong reasons, you won't have a good time here. While it's easier nowadays, because a lot of people, of course, come in with the intentions of just selling.
Well,
it's easier nowadays. But of course, me too. But also to, you know, connect and inspire and all the other things. But if you're just focused on that one thing, like the scam bots, then you won't have a good time. Because while it's easier nowadays to promote, you know, with the internet to share our artwork, we still have to do work, even in NFTs, right?
Yes, that's such a great advice, because this space is a lot of work, right? To promote your art, to make the art, to like network and get yourself out, it's a lot of work. So if you come in, if your goal is to come in and make money, then you're going to get disappointed and discouraged really, really fast, like you said, because I mean, at least, you know, I'm sure there's plenty of artists who made a lot of money in this space. But I think for the most of us, this is not a place you come in and like make your 100 grand and then you're set for the year. This is kind of a space you come in, you nurture your friends, you nurture your community, and then maybe one day you'll get there, right? And I think, like you said, coming in with the right intentions and come in to have a good time, then there's really no negatives. But if you come in with certain expectation, then it's like there will be expiration for your time in this space. Yeah, and I've seen like two cycles of this now. That's pretty much how it goes. Okay, I feel really old just talking, having said all that.
I'm sorry.
No, that is totally okay. Well, thank you so much for being here with us
today. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and I'm so happy that you share your stories and your thoughts with us and your, you know, your background story, which we don't really get in all your tweets and all your profiles. So I really appreciate that. And thank you so much for everyone who joined us today. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode and this podcast, please hit that subscribe button and follow me on social media. I appreciate your support, because it is a fuel that feeds the fire, and I cannot do any of this without you. With that, have a great day and see you next time.